Welcome back to another episode of Consider Dead Podcast. I'm Travis from Winneka.
I'm Dead King.
And on this week's podcast, we're going down memory lane. And we're going to talk to you about when Brian and I first met, all the nonsense we got into, and
crazy times.
How it led up to now. We're going to give you a little bit of our history. And later, we'll give some shout outs and some updates for the podcast.
So this week, we're going to go electronic and featuring songs from a newly discovered French musician, Pertubulator. This is a dark synth sound, and first song is called Satanic Rites.
Satan!
Satan!
Great one. Correction, it's Pertubulator. That's the DJ's name, not Pertubulator. Really hard to pronounce.
Does that song make you feel some type of way, Brian?
I don't know. It makes me feel a lot of things.
Does it give you the tingles?
I feel it in my butt.
The tingles in your butthole? Alright, so we're going to talk about how Brian and I first met. And it was about what? Little over 10 years ago.
Damn,
that long? I think I was 19 when I first met you because we both worked at Kohl's.
It was like 2008, right?
2008, 2009.
Yeah, it
was 18,
19. Yeah.
We both met because we worked at Kohl's together. Man, that job fucking sucked.
Oh, man.
That was a horrible job. We did,
it was like overnight, early morning, unloading the truck.
Yeah, we did the truck unload.
Yeah.
So all the
merchandise will come out, all the clothes, all the you name it, everything in the store came out that.
Yeah, we would have to be there at 5 a.m. and start unloading.
Unloading that truck.
And that was a fucking bitch job. Anybody who's done retail and they've done that, you guys know what we're talking about.
Stocking shelves, but we were
I hated it. I mean, I was 18 years old, 19, whatever, so I could appreciate it. I was making money, but that was hard work, man.
Yeah. It was really hard. And then the management weren't the greatest either.
I know, the management sucked.
They sucked hard, man. They're like, like stutter, look around. I'll pick up that piece of paper. Right. Like, you know.
Like, do it faster. Open the boxes faster. Unload faster.
Unload faster. Even though you guys are exhausted.
We're like all sweating and everything too.
Crazy times. But
I mean, it was an experience to have our first job.
But that's how we met. We met at Kohl's. We were there. This is before he was Travis Winneka. This is before I was Dead King. And we were just two young men, very handsome men, just working.
Yeah.
just make it a dollar for our name. And I remember first thing I told Travis, I was like, hey man, like that's immature, you know. When I was I'm older now, so that's not funny. He goes, What, 5 minutes ago? What? Were you younger 5 minutes ago or what?
Yeah, nothing's changed. We still talk the same.
Oh, shit,
man. But our maturity level has gone down.
Oh, it's gotten worse, man. I remember I used to take the bus. I used to take the bus home, and I used to get rides to get there in the morning. But when I used to go home, I used to take the bus. And one day Travis comes up to me. He goes, hey, man, you need a ride home? And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll definitely love a ride home. And we got in his car. It was all nice and innocent. We're all happy. I was like, man, this is the beginning of a new friendship. And then all of a sudden, we get to the cross streets, and this lady's on the other stop sign. He's at a stop sign. And then they just had a little stare down. And then Travis is like, what the fuck is
the lady wasn't going?
He's like, is this bitch going to go or not? So this guy just flicks her off and he just makes a turn right away.
I cut her off. Like, she was like one of those things where you, like, am I going? Is she going? And I started going. Then she started going. And I just said, fuck it. I just like.
No, but she had the right of way. She was there first, but she just froze up. She just stared at you.
Yeah. I was just cussing her out.
He's like, fuck you. And we've been friends ever since.
But I remember working at Kohl's. Brian, that was fucked up. Brian had only one job. See, when I worked at Kohl's, you know, I started working doing the truck unload, and then I got to work actually on the sales floor. Then I got to work doing cashier, and that became my main job. And then I became a supervisor there. Brian, his job, Brian's job never changed. His sole job was to compact boxes. So when the truck unload comes, everything's in a box. They cut the box open, and then they dump it. And we have this box compactor that compacts the box, and then we wrap it up in coil, and then we send it back. And that was Brian's sole job, was to compact boxes.
Oh, man, let me tell you something.
His job never changed. He never got to see the day of light. He was like the cave troll of
Kohl's. Right. I remember.
He was never allowed to come out.
I remember they were like, Brian, you're still here?
But yeah.
I forgot one of those older ladies was like, Brian, they let you out? It was that tall lady, that tall blonde lady with the tattoos.
Yeah,
I remember she was like, they let you out?
I know. Even she knew, like, oh, it's fucked up.
It was a hard position, man. Because
they would like make us try to go fast and stuff. And so Brian had, when we say a mountain of boxes, like it was like what, like 5, 6, 7 feet of like taller than us, like a mountain. Like
10 feet the most. Like, remember, it was like
I know, and it's like, and it was just wide, and Brian couldn't keep up with it. Like, there's physically impossible between the machine being slow and compacting. And
no, but it's
Brian's like, trying to do his job.
It's like,
and all he would do is get yelled at every fucking day. Brian, really? They're just like, the managers come and see like this mountain of boxes, and Brian's like, I can't go any faster. I don't know what to tell you.
It's 20 people throwing boxes at me.
Yeah, it was 20 people throwing boxes at him.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to like empty them out and squish them. But, you know, there was funny times because, you know, once you compact them, you put them into, you know, you wrap them up with wire and you put them in the truck. But there was a time where one guy was trying to help me unpush this pallet of boxes, like, you know, all squished up, wrapped up, and we threw it inside a truck. But one guy was pushing, I was pulling. And the guy was like, all right, let's do it fast. And he's pushing it, I'm pulling it, I'm going up into the truck, and I was like, okay, you can stop now, you can stop. And he didn't stop, and that guy kept pushing. Oh, he's like, he just squished me in the back of the end of the truck.
Yeah, these pallets pallets that we compact the boxes on, they were fucking heavy.
Yeah, that thing squished me.
It was like a 2 or 3 man job getting them into the truck.
I used to do it by myself, bro.
Well, I don't know how you fucking did it.
I used to just get a running start. Like,
I'm surprised you didn't break some bones or have some back injuries.
I don't know, bro, but I survived.
You said you'd get a head start?
Yeah.
From the beginning of the warehouse to the end?
You know where the double doors were? The double doors where you need an entrance to go to the yeah. floor? You I would start from there.
Oh, and my God.
With the pallet jacket, I'll start running up to the truck, and it start building momentum. Like, it builds momentum so fast that I'm not even pulling it anymore. It's like chasing me. So I'm like, oh, there we go.
Bro, that's like
what, 20 yards?
Yeah.
That's like a 20-yard head start you would get? Oh, yeah, my goodness.
I would do it just to get it in there, but I did it. I did the impossible. We did great. But, you know, those were the Coles times, man.
And Brian, like, yeah, I mean, it was funny. It was fucked up, but it was funny. And, like, I just started I started naming Brian the box manager.
Oh, man. We used to, like, we used to call each other on the phone. Like, so, like, let's say you're, like,
on the intercom. You could hear us on the intercom.
Be like, oh, for example, be like, hey, Travis, call me a 105. You know, that's the extension for that phone. So, well, these guys will go to lunch ahead of time. We're supposed to go to lunch, like, say, for example, 11. I like to take my lunch at 11:30, so when these guys come back, it's not so messy. And these guys will go ahead, and they'll be like, you know, fuck that. We're going to call Brian. And here we go. I'm throwing boxes in the bin, you know, trying to compact them. All I hear is, Brian, call 105. 5 minutes later.
That was a number, too. That's crazy.
Brian, 105. That. And then Brian – not Brian. It's box manager, call 105. And my supervisor's like, God damn it, Brian, answer that phone call. You know, I go and answer that. I answer the phone. I was like, what's going on? Is everything okay? They're like, hey, we're going to lunch. Let's go. You guys haven't clocked in for lunch? Like, hell no. We've been waiting for you.
And Brian has like this whole pile of boxes to do still. Oh, Brian wasn't even allowed to take lunch with us. Like when all other 20 people went to lunch, Brian had to stay there. And then because he had a mountain of boxes, he had to stay there and clear it. And so usually like it took you, it took what, 45 minute lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
By the time it came back, you were just about done. It was all cleared out. And then Brian would go to lunch. And then we start working. So Brian takes his 30-minute, 45-minute lunch. And when he comes back, it was like another mountain. Stuff.
Here we go again.
And Brian just comes back for lunch. And then the managers are always getting mad at him already. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I just came back from lunch.
Exactly.
So you got to work faster.
Always. But those were the adventures of Coles. We had little perks there. It was fun.
Yeah. Worked a little too long.
We had also.
That was a good experience for our first job.
Yeah. But. We used to also start hanging outside, though.
Oh, yeah. We started hanging outside after that once incident with the giving you a ride home. We started hanging out. Remember, yeah. We would get beer. I don't know how we would get beer, but we would get beer.
It was Chris. One of our old buddies, Chris, knew the guy at the liquor store.
Oh, that's right. He introduced the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, 7-Eleven or something. And like, oh, don't do this at home, kids. I know it's for all you guys out there, but we had a connect. I don't know about you guys. But we were not even 21 yet. People would sell us alcohol. And the guy would sell us alcohol. He was like, he only had one eye. And the other guy was like, other eye was all messed up. The guy would be like, hey, whatever you want, you know.
He was super cool.
Yeah, super cool guy. He used to buy beer. We should just drink and hang out. And once in a while, we used to have fight nights. Remember that putazos nights?
Putazos nights.
Yeah, we used to just drink and be like, hey, what's better than to get ready for a fight than fighting your own homies? And we're all drunk and slobbery. Like, hey, bro, let's fight. We get boxing gloves.
That was like when we were young and we couldn't like hold our liquor. We'd just be stumbling and just saying a bunch of fucking stupid shit.
I just remember one time it was three of us.
Oh, this is you, me,
and Jovan.
And Jovan. We did. we all fought each other the same time.
All right, so usually we're even, but that night it was three of us, and we were like, how are we going to fight? I was like, let's do a free-for-all.
We did a free-for-all.
We just beat each other up.
Running against everybody. And we all fucked each other up, like, one way or another.
I remember, I think I messed up Travis's nose.
No, you messed up my, was it my nose? I think it was my nose, yeah, your nose.
Yeah, I messed up your nose.
Broke it.
And then you busted up my jaw.
You said you couldn't feel half your face.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't move my right side of my jaw. Like, I felt like I couldn't feel it. And I think the other guy got rocked.
Jovan ended up on the floor.
I think he got knocked out. He just dropped.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It was funny because it was like a brief fight. It was like 30 seconds or a minute long. And then we just started laughing. It was like, we all fucked each other up after.
Like, damn.
We're like, good shit. Patting.
We all had boxing gloves and everything. No, we only had like one, didn't we?
No, we all had boxing gloves. Yeah.
We each had one? Okay, I thought we each had just like one boxing glove.
No, we all had boxing gloves. But Jovan was the one with the UFC ones.
Oh, okay. So he was hitting harder,
He was way hitting hard, but we rocked him. He fell on the ground.
I know. He did end up on the ground. That's so funny.
We rocked him, and then I busted your nose, and then you gave me like a 1-2-3 on my jaw. And then like, boom, I couldn't feel my jaw. That was funny.
We used to have a lot of good
times. I
remember
I told my ex, I was this girl dating back then. I told her, like, what happened. Like, I guess I was supposed to see her the next day. But I was, like, so feeling miserable because my nose was all fucked up. And then she was just cussing me out, saying I'm stupid, hanging out with a bunch of low lives and all this shit.
And look at this low life, still friends with me.
You're not a family man.
Oh, man. But those are good times. I mean, hey, it's better fight your friends than fight like a stranger that'll beat the shit out of you. You know what I mean? So it kind of taught us to be a little tough, you know, because we know when to stop. Right, we stop. We're like, hey, it hurts. We're like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah,
yeah. Right. We always told each other, like, hey,
my friends, right. we're friends.
Hey,
before you get to that point, we just start getting mad when you get hit.
Yeah, you start
swinging back harder.
Yeah, we just like we always told each other, like, if you can stop it right away, you know, we had a little precautions.
Before we continue with any more stories, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna feature the song.
We're gonna do Disco Inferno.
Oh shit. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, welcome back. So, continuing on with our stories of the history of Brian and Travis. Brian introduced me into metal and going to shows, metal shows here in Los Angeles, and I believe I started going to your shows and at the Cobalt because you play at the Cobalt a lot.
Yeah, I used to play my old band Shredder, and we used to play the Cobalt. Like Cobalt was like the venue to go to in the San Fernando Valley. Like every San Fernando Valley played at the Cobalt, like once or twice or all the freaking time.
Yeah, it's a small little cafe. Well, they call it the Cobalt Cafe. It's a small area, small little little building. But it, you know, that's where all the metalheads went, and there's always mosh pits and.
you know, the crowd so close to the band playing.
It was a big scene for punk metal, and then like in the early 2000s, like extremely important for like the hardcore and deathcore bands. And unfortunately, it closed down. The guy got cancer, the owner, and he didn't want to deal with it no more, yeah. So he sold it.
But that's pretty much all we had around here, because not even none of the bars, some of the bars do now, like, you know, they'll have their death metal nights or whatnot, but yeah. Cobalt was the spot to go Friday, Saturday nights.
You never failed. Never felt that. There was always a show there, a good show. But not anymore. The Valley is different now, and it's hard to get shows out here, bro. It's always been hard to get shows. But those are good memories. Yeah. I did security there. We played shows there. We had crazy things going on. I remember one time I tried to go into the restroom and I accidentally opened the door and this couple like fucking on that dirtiest toilet I've ever seen. They're just like blast, 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 and the guy's like, close the fucking door. And I was like, oh, sorry. And I was like, ew, gross. That bathroom was horrible. Like full of graffiti and stickers and God knows
what. I know, right? It's like one of those bathrooms you go in. It's like it's nothing but like stickers and like people like slashing graffiti, things with knives and stuff.
Graffiti and knife slashes. And I remember they used to make a meme about it. It's like, if you've been to the Cobalt, you can survive COVID-19.
Yeah. That's so true. I think, you know, from there we started going to other shows too. Once we started making money.
The funniest one I remember is when the time, I forgot what event it was, but they were doing free shows. And I got us a free show to see Hyrax. And
that was at the House of Blues.
The House of Blues. It was Hyrax, I think Death Rider. And we went to go see them. And that was...
That whole trip right from the beginning. And so we were a little older back then.
Yeah, we got a little older.
So then, like my dad, in his alcohol cabinet, he had a stash. It wasn't even my dad's. It was my grandfather's alcohol that just been sitting there for... 2 decades. It was whiskey, and the other one was gin.
It
was whiskey and gin.
Yeah, I just know that.
And this stuff was like, you know, this thing was at least from the 80s.
No,
like,
but you only put a little bit in each water bottle.
Yeah, so I brought a water bottle, and so like it was my dad's stuff, and so I didn't want to take too much without him noticing. And so I filled up each water bottle like halfway.
Halfway. Yeah. And man.
Oh my God. Like immediately after taking it, we were having the time of our life. Don't drink and drive. We're having the time of our life, man, on our way over there. And we were just dying laughing. That's like one of the few times I can remember laughing so goddamn
hard. We were laughing so hard. I just remember we had our boy Ogre when he was younger. And he, you know, it was a time when he was like fresh in the metal scene. You know, he's like excited for shows. But me and Travis are already experienced, so we're kind of we're over it. I think
like we were older. It was like a 21 and up show.
Yeah,
for the House of Blues.
And I just remember we were telling Ogre, we were like, "Hey, it's a 21 and up show. How are you going to get in?" And he's like, "Oh, are you serious?" And we're like, "Yeah, we could just say you're our daughter." And we're like, like all laughing, all loud and lying. And
we're in line with Tony. He was like all embarrassed.
People were just staring at us and we started singing Justin Bieber in line. Like,
oh my God. Oh, damn. Man.
It was so bad.
He was like so embarrassed. And then actually when we got up to the security guard or whatever, when they take our tickets, I was like... I straight up said, like, "This is my daughter. She's underage, but can I bring her in?"
You know, the security guard.
And the guy, security guard, just looked at him and just started cracking up laughing. He just shook his head. No, he can't come in.
No, but he did. He let him in.
Like, right away he didn't. I think after he let like a big group in, he's like, "Dude, just go in.
Just go in." Yeah, he just get go in. He's like, he started laughing at first.
Right.
He was like, "Oh man, you guys are bad." He just let them in anyways, but I think it was because we were just laughing loud. I think that guy was just like, "Oh, these guys are nice. Like, just let that guy in." And, oh, man, that was fun. The House of Blues, because they were doing a lot of free shows that year. And that was fun. And rest in peace to House of Blues, because it's not around
anymore. I can't believe they took that away.
They closed that down.
I can't believe they took that away.
They closed on the Cobalt. They already closed on the House of Blues. There's a lot of venues that are not around anymore, but good times. Good times to all that.
But, you know, with, there was other times when we used to go and just play pool. Remember that time?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple cool pool spots here in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, we used to play. Because, you know, we grew up in the San Fernando Valley. So we used to go play pool, just bar hop. We used to just look up on our phones.
I know one of the places we'd always end up, it was the Copper Bucket.
Oh, man. That place is dead.
Man. It was the Copper Bucket. The Copper Bucket is one of those places where it can be packed. It's a dive bar. It's usually packed, and they take cash only, but, you know, they give you, like, a pitcher of beer.
Yeah, a lot
you can't
of beer.
You can't just order a glass of beer. They give you a pitcher of beer.
Yeah, it's like a little pitcher, and it's worth it. It's more for your buck, and, man, every time you go to a Copper Bucket, bro, like, there's always a fight.
There's always a fight. Some shady-ass fools show up.
Always something. The security now carries a gun.
Wow.
That's how upgraded they are.
I think there have been shootings there.
There was a shooting not that long ago, yeah. That's how ghetto that place is. But, man, they give you a lot of beer.
Yeah, you get a lot of beer for your buck.
Hell yeah. That's why I like going there, man. But we used to do bar hoppings there. We used to go to Scotland Yard. Scotland Yard is a great place.
Still go there.
Yeah, we still go there. It's more rock and punk. It's like
yeah, they have metal shows every
metal
once
shows
in a while,
but punk shows, ska shows, like Scotland Yard kind of took up the mantle for the Cobalt after though. Cobalt kind of went down. Yeah. But you know, you can't fit as many people as you can into the Scotland Yard, so yeah, that's the only thing that sucks. But you know, I wanted to give before we go any more further, I wanted to give a little shout out to Eye for Metal. So, I don't know if you guys know, the singer of Deified, he has started a little metal podcast with Justin from Death Thrash. So, make sure to check them out. I think every Monday they're posting, I think, on YouTube.
Yeah, they have a YouTube. They do their podcasts on YouTube and record themselves.
Yeah, they record themselves. So, you guys are, you know, for our metal fans out there, because I know we do a lot of metal bands, and we're trying to expand our horizons to different bands, but you guys that definitely love to be involved with the metal scene, check out Eye for Metal for sure. Look on Death Thrash TV on YouTube, and we'll put a little link out there for you guys.
Then recently they did they interviewed
Kush Frost.
Yeah, the Kush Frost, and they also interviewed another band who we're going to interview in 2 weeks.
Hammer. So keep an eye out for them. Those guys are an upcoming band right now. They're doing great. They released an album, I believe. They have a music video. You guys are putting in a lot of work. Good guys. Really good guys.
I'm going to tell you guys more of our history. I remember this one time. I forgot whose birthday it was. But it was like a group of my friends and Brian's friends. We ended up getting drunk that night, and we all ended up at Brian's house. And my friend Andrew and I, we decided to box.
The thing is, at that time, my pool was empty.
For the most part, it was empty.
Most part.
Except that one part of the pool that's like all green and moss and parasites.
Like, it was like a lagoon in the very part.
Yeah. And so like we decided to go down in the pool and box. And, you know, we had boxing gloves and stuff. So, Andrew and I, we go down into the pool. We're in the shallow end, away from the fucking the gooey pool part. All we did was take off our hats. We kept our keys, our wallet in our pockets, all that. And like, you know, Brian goes ding ding ding, and we start boxing. We threw maybe one punch each, and then we just started wrestling, and then we end up throwing ourselves into the disgusting fucking lake, green lake of moss and parasite part of the pool. We're drenched. soaking wet.
You guys ever seen?
And I ran out as fast as I could because I knew my phone was in my pocket and all this.
It reminds me of that scene of RoboCop where like the guy gets the first movie when the guy get hit by the hazardous acid.
Yeah.
He's like,
That's pretty much how Andrew and I emerged.
You guys are coming out like, oh!
Dude, I got out so fast because I was so disgusted. Like, I don't know when it, like, there's probably some parasite that, like, crawled up my ass or something. Like, that's like a I wanted out.
Mosquito nest, bro.
Like, but Andrew, he just stood there. He's, like, drenched, standing there inside the nasty-ass murky pool. He's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I'm yelling, Andrew, get out of the pool. It's like, no, what the fuck?
That was such a bad idea.
That was, I think Justin was there. Our friend Justin was there, and he ended up getting drunk, and he was trying to fight a tree in Brian's front yard.
Did the tree win?
I think so, because he fucked up his knuckles.
You know, it reminds me of this one time me and Travis went to, I think it was Liz's birthday party over there in Long Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And then Travis, like, all right, so Travis is very competitive. He's a very competitive guy. This guy does not mess around with anything he does. This guy starts something, he's like, I'm all for it, you know? And this guy goes, Brian, let's play beer pong. Let's play beer pong. And I was like, no. And then Travis is like, come on, man. These guys are undefeated. Let's go show them what's up. And I was like, I suck. And then Travis is like, who cares? I just need you. Well, so I go over there. Travis is like, come on, let's do it. Come on, Brian. Don't let me down. And somehow, that of all the nights, of all the parties that went with Travis, all of a sudden, I'm making all the shots.
We were fucking destroying people. We were there playing for 2 hours. And then, you know, when you play beer pong, it's like winner keeps playing. That's what it was. We kept winning
Travis,
game after game.
That was the most proudest moment of Travis.
I know. I was like so proud of myself.
It's like, Brian, I can't believe you're making those shots.
We were like putting fear in people's eyes.
Oh, man. They were undefeated. And me and Travis just went up. We just were undefeated for like six, seven
games. I think we're
games.
Like even toying with them, like how Bruce Lee would toy with people when he's fighting people.
I wasn't
serious.
Even trying, bro. I was just toying, and I was just like, boop. You're like, Brian, you always miss, though. How are you making it right now? We did it. It was one of those nights where I just kept making all the shots.
That was a funny night.
That was a fun night, man. It was the smallest apartment with so many people in it.
Oh, we got to talk about the drive back. Worst part. So, you know, we live in the San Fernando Valley in Long Beach. That's
like an hour drive.
45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on traffic and stuff. And Brian blacked out. He drank so much he blacked out. I shouldn't have been driving, but I was driving on the freeway. And for whatever reason, no matter what time you're driving on the 405, there's always fucking traffic.
Always.
It could be, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning. Always fucking traffic. Like, backed up, bumper to bumper. And that's what it was. And so we finally get into the valley, and Brian's been passed out in the seat next to me for who knows how long, however long we're stuck in traffic. And I see his body shaking. I see his body shaking. Like, he's sleeping, but he's shaking like, ugh. Like, he's just, like, shaking. And I'm like, damn, like, some exorcist shit's going on here. And he starts shaking, like kind of compulsing a little bit.
Hell yeah.
That's what it was. You're asleep, though.
But I felt
And so
it.
I'm like, I wake up Brian. I'm like, Brian, wake up. I'm like trying to reach over and drive at the same time. Like, wake up. And he wakes up. I go, like, Brian didn't know where he was.
Always, bro.
And, you know, at that point, we're in the bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I wake up Brian. Oh, what's going on? I'm like, Brian, you're like, you're shaking. You're like, you're having a nightmare or something. And Brian's like, okay, I'm going to go take a piss. And we're on the 405, bumper to bumper traffic. Brian tries to open the door and get out and go take a piss. I'm like, Brian, no! I'm like grabbing him, trying to grab him, pull him back. And Brian was like so scared because I yelled at him. He's like, why are you yelling at me? Why are you grabbing me like that?
The thing is, when I woke up, I saw nothing. I woke up. And I saw nothing. Like, it took me, like, to the moment when Travis grabbed my shoulder and be like, Brian, we're in the middle of traffic. And then I realized it's like a freaking 14-wheeler, 13-wheeler, like a big old truck next to our right. There's a bunch of cars all around me. And you're like, Travis, like, where are you going to piss? And my dumb ass was like, right here. Travis is like, no, like, you're not taking a piss right here. And then all here's the flapping of my legs like I'm fucking taking off.
Yeah, we gotta take a piss. Your legs are shaking like, yeah, hold it.
And I was like, all right, bro, I gotta take a piss. You're like, Brian, hold it.
And you're like, no, I'm just gonna go. I'm like, no. Like, I think there's cops behind us too.
Yeah,
and
it they was pulled over not something a or good something. Situation.
I'm like, no, you're not doing it. And this like went on back and forth. I was yelling at Brian like top of my lungs because he was trying so hard to get out. I think I had to put the child lock on at one point just so he wouldn't get out. And eventually, Brian had to pee so bad. I felt for him. He had to pee so bad. And finally, you know, I got off on the next exit.
I peed not even like halfway down that ramp, bro. You're like halfway down the ramp, and I was like, stop right here, stop right here.
And I just, yeah, you wanted me to get up on the ramp. I'm like, no.
And I just pissed right in the, like, the stop right there.
No, you didn't. You pissed when we got to Denny's.
Did we?
So as soon as we got off the ramp, you make a right, and there's a Denny's right there. Brian runs into the bushes, pisses in the bushes, but the meanwhile, Denny's is right there, and there's like a family staring at Brian taking a piss in the bush.
Hell yeah.
It was fucking great.
Oh, man. But that's not even the best part. Like, afterwards, I got in the car. We're driving back because we didn't get that far home. We didn't get that close home. We started driving back, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep, and all I hear is a... And I wake up, I'm like, Travis, what's going on? And you're like, oh, my bad. I fell asleep on the wheel. I'm okay. I was like, you know what? I have to watch you for the rest of the ride.
Oh, that was fucked up. That was really fucked up on my part.
I was like, I'm going to have to watch you. I fall back asleep.
I fucking fell asleep, so we're, and, you know, we got back on the freeway driving back, and I fell asleep, and, you know, I literally crossed probably at least three lanes on the freeway. I fell asleep, and I crossed like three lanes on the freeway going home, and, you know, when you get just before you hit the wall, like they had the little bumpers on the road, that's what I was hitting. That's what woke me up. Brian too.
Oh,
and I was like cracking up laughing, like as soon as I woke up, like, almost, Brian, almost.
And you think you did like two times, and I was just like, I'm gonna watch you the whole time.
I know.
And I fell back asleep.
I know, Brian's like, I'm staying up. Like literally 10 seconds later, you just hear him snoring.
Yep.
That's how you know he's asleep. You can hear him snoring.
Yeah, I fell right back asleep. Like, I let Travis on his own to drive us home. I don't know how we got home, but we got home. Those are crazy nights, man. We don't do shit like that anymore, man. But, man, those are good times.
But that's all the stories we have for now. Like, Brian and I have tons of more stories.
So
we'll share with you fun, and we'll share with you guys on another episode.
Yeah, tons.
Well, since things are starting to open back up, we're open to doing live interviews again.
Yeah, so if any of you guys know any bands or you have a band yourself, you know, just hit us up. And, you know, we have safety precautions. We have gloves. We have masks.
Yeah, and if you guys, you know, you guys as well, if you guys want to wear gloves and wear masks, like, however you guys feel safe, but... We are back open for doing interviews, live interviews.
Yeah, that's why we haven't had many band like interviews lately, because we know we respected the wishes of other people. We've been doing Zoom.
Yeah.
We've been doing, you know, just like, you know, like episodes like this just to fill in the time for you guys, you know, just to give you guys a little back, you know, story to us, you know, for you guys to know us. So when you guys know anybody or ready to go, just let us know. We're good to go now.
Okay, and so we're going to end it there, and our last song by Vertibulator
is, the song is called John Holmes VHS Nightclub.
Oh, shit. Alrighty.
Alright, guys. John, see you next
Holmes
time.
Stay classy. The biggest star in the history of the adult film industry. There's a certain intrigue that follows him. After working in the heat of the lights and the glamour of movies, and being sought after by countless women, does he step out of our fantasies into a life of respected charm and wealth? Or is he a character of lust and perversion, stalking the night for women and sex? We'll be right back.
And the man does his business.
John Holmes?
Sure, everyone knows John Holmes.